All right, so now, so I am so glad that I am able to be here. What a blessing it is. This church is dear to my heart. I believe that this church, Pastor Post and Mrs. Post, they had such an influence on me that after visiting your church. Actually, I was here with a team. You were here maybe a year or two?
We were here a few months.
Oh, okay.
You were on the church planting team.
Yes.
And you came in August. We started in May. And you guys came in, I think, August.
Yeah.
But can't trust you. Anyway, it was somewhere around.
It was very close. And
I remember there were five of you guys on the team, I think.
Yeah, and my wife was on a team in Germany, and so that was before cell phones and texting and all of that. So, you know, many times I wondered if she wasn't my girlfriend anymore because I wouldn't get a letter for weeks, you know. And she was my girlfriend, and I ended up marrying her. But it was interesting because of being here at this church. I remember sitting on your front porch having devotions and thinking, you know, I like Kansas. I really do. And there was a couple opportunities when we went to start a church. One was out in Idaho, and the other was in this area of Kansas. And I really felt that the Lord would have us to come to Kansas. My wife had the same peace in her heart, and I appreciate, of course, once I got here, and we started our church back in 1986, so we are getting ready to celebrate this coming October, our 39th anniversary. My wife and I moved here to Kansas in January of 1986, and then what Brother Ensberger was talking about, without us being here much longer, we are going to end our ministry here at Faith Baptist, or here in Manhattan, Kansas, Lord willing, we will leave 40 years after we started our church. And so what a blessing it has to be here. The Lord has brought to our church a young man to be the pastor of our church. And so we've been in transition for the last 4 years or 3 years, and it'll be 4 years by the time we leave. And he is a wonderful musician, wonderful song leader, and he is use the Lord. Have you had the Herbsters here? So Nathan Herbster is our assistant pastor now. That is not Mark and Mike's, one of their children, but Matt Herbster, his oldest son, is our assistant pastor. And, you know, maybe you've heard where the Lord has led in different churches. I've been watching your church. Brother McNally, his son was a member of our church some years ago. And his other son is the pastor of my brother up in Michigan. And so I was pretty excited when he was here and being involved in this ministry, and of course to transition from Brother Post to now the Ernsbergers. What a wonderful couple they are, and a blessing they are to me. And my biggest regret is I haven't gotten to know them much until recently, and I'm just thankful. He came up and spoke at our banquet, and we appreciate very much what he did. Well, I mentioned that my assistant is our song leader. Maybe you've heard this story. I've heard this, that there was a church where the preacher and the song leader were not getting along. Now, sometimes those kind of things happen. And as time went by, this began to spill over into the worship service. So the first week, the preacher preached on commitment and how we should dedicate ourselves to the service of God. Well, then the song leader gets up and leads a song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." Well, that was not good. So the second week, the preacher preached on tithing and how we should gladly give to the work of the Lord. So the song leader gets up and leads a song, "Jesus Paid It All." The third week, the preacher preached on gossiping and how we should all watch our tongues. Well, the song leader led the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." And with all this going on, the preacher became very disgruntled and disgusted over the situation. The following Sunday, told the congregation that he was considering resigning. The song leader led the song, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" Well, it came to pass the preacher did indeed resign. The next week, he informed the church that it was Jesus who led him there, and it was Jesus that was taking him away. And the song leader led the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Oh, my. I'm glad I don't have that kind of relationship with our song leader. Oh, my. I am told that your theme this year is looking unto Jesus. And so I was given the assignment to speak on that. And of course, the verse that came to mind immediately is maybe a verse that you're familiar with, and that's in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And in Hebrews chapter 12, we have a very important passage of scriptures. Matter of fact, I've been thinking about this. I think I'm going to preach this to my church tomorrow night. It's a wonderful theme to understand that we are all running a race. And it isn't a situation where, you know, when you think of a race, you get in a foot race and you say, how fast can I, you know, I'm going to beat this other guy. No, it's not so much a quick race. We're talking about a race from the time you start the Christian life until the time the Lord takes you home. And when that's the case, sometimes it takes a lot of patience to run the race with patience. And the scripture tells us in Hebrews 12 that, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And here he says, "And let us run with patience." That's the idea of endurance. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Looking unto Jesus. I actually put this on our church sign this week, trying to remind people in our community, look unto Jesus. Interesting word that's for, with that word looking. The idea there is to look away and turning your eyes away unto him. Now, in other words, it's one thing to be looking here, but it's another thing to say, I'm going to look away anything that would distract me to look to Jesus. It's kind of like driving a car. You know, I can get very distracted when I'm driving, and And sometimes, you know, I'm looking over here and I'm looking over there. And we were driving down here and we were looking at some of the farms and the land. And my wife saying, yeah, over there, there's this. And I'm looking over there. And actually, she was driving, so it wasn't a problem for me, you know. But, you know, you're seeing these things. But you know how it is if you look at your phone, if you look at something that you shouldn't be looking at, you can veer off the road very quickly. And the idea of turning your eyes away so you can focus on the road is the idea of that word looking. And it's kind of like a track race. You know, if you are in a race, sometimes the best thing you do is keep your eyes on the finish line. Now, I used to run track and field. And I ran the half-mile race, which was two laps around the track. And it was really kind of a long sprint. And I remember I was in the city meet. And I thought, you know, I'm gonna do great. I feel great. I'm gonna run. And I started right out of the starting block, started going around, and I thought, I am going to just beat everybody. And I was flying. And everybody was behind me. But what I didn't realize is I took off way too soon. Because when I got the second lap and I got around the third corner, and this is, I'm not joking here, I just said, I can't do this. And I just left the race and I laid in the ground. And I said, what am I doing? And it was so embarrassing. I was in ninth grade, I think. So I thought, well, I can't be embarrassing myself like that. Well, then I got into the county race. This is Oakland County, Michigan. And so here I am in this Oakland County race. And I thought to myself, okay, who won that city meet? And it was a guy who did very well. And I said to myself, I said, you know, I don't know how exactly the best way to run this race, but one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to keep my eyes on that guy's back. And in theory, I thought, well, you know, I'll get around to the last corner, and then when he kicks or he takes off, I'm going to take off too, and I'm going to pass him. That was my theory. So I get into this race, and all I knew is I was had my eye on this guy's back. And I went and did the race, stayed right behind him, didn't even know who else was in this race. I just kept my eyes on his back. And I got to the last turn, and I said, okay, it's time to kick and take off and win this race. Well, that's what he said, too. And he ended up winning the race. But you know what? I took second place in the county meet because I had my eyes on him. And really, he was a good runner. See, this is the idea of turning your eyes away from things and looking at something you're focusing on. In our Christian race, we're kind of like Peter. Matthew chapter 14. Do you remember that story? When Jesus, in Matthew 14, verses 24 through 31, Jesus had come back. He'd left the disciples. They're in a ship. And Jesus comes back to the ship. Remember how he got there? He walked on the water. And he gets on this, you know, he comes there, and they're thinking, this is a ghost. And Jesus said, don't be afraid, it's me. And of all things, this is only found in the Gospel of Matthew. Peter says, well, Lord, beckon me to come out onto the water. Now, we can look at Peter and we say, you know, what kind of an idiot is he? But he had an incredible faith that Jesus was going to help him walk in the water. So what does Jesus say? What did he say? Come on. And Peter steps out of the boat. Now, I've been on the Sea of Galilee, so is Pastor Post. I have a lot of stories about Pastor Post. But we won't go there. He was there. And the interesting thing is, out on the Sea of Galilee, that's pretty deep water out there. So Peter steps out of the boat, goes into the water, and he walks on water. And then what happens? He started looking at the waves and said, what am I doing here? This is crazy. Starts to sink. Lord, help me! And the Lord picks him up. See, that's what happens when you take your eyes off Jesus. And you start looking at the wind and the waves and the trials and the trouble. And there's a lot of things that will get our eyes off Jesus. Now this year, since this is your theme, keep this in mind. You're going to have a lot of things that's going to cause you to want to take your eyes off Jesus. Whether it be political, whether it be Elon, whether it be Donald Trump, Chuck Schumer, or whether it be sports. Now, we could talk about what happened to the Chiefs. I don't know. You know, you can get your eyes on a lot of different things. Your flesh. You have worldliness. The writer of Hebrews says what you got to do is to get your eyes off or lay aside weights, things that are not sin in themselves, but yet they distract you. Sin, the sin which doth so easily beset us, We need to lay that aside. And even people, it's fascinating when you look at this in Hebrews 12. Just do a study on this. We could ask the question, okay, what is this great cloud of witnesses? Well, is this talking about there's a stadium up there where all these people are watching us? I'm not too sure about that. But when we look at Hebrews chapter 11, we see all of the testimony of all these people. But what you do see is they were human. And because they were human, they sometimes did some things that we say, well, they shouldn't have done that. And, you can get your eyes on people. You can get your eyes on your pastor, and you can get your eyes on somebody else that you look up to, and they'll disappoint you. And this is why the writer of Hebrews says, listen, it's good to consider the testimony of these men, but there's the testimony of one that never failed you. Never. Once. And his name is Jesus. And we start looking at our trials. We start looking at people. We start looking at problems. And as Christians, we need to keep our eyes on Christ at all times. He's the one who gives us the strength to finish the race. I don't know how much longer I have on this earth, really. Neither do you. But I'll tell you this. We want to finish well, don't we? You know, Paul said it this way, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he could say, at the end of his life, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, I hope you're saved. I shouldn't assume that just because you're here that you are 100% sure you're going to heaven when you die. And if you aren't, let me tell you, look to Jesus. He's the one that will save you. And if you're not saved, why not come to Christ? But if you are saved, look to Jesus. And really, it's very much a matter of making that a priority of your life. So when you get up in the morning, what do? Do you look to Jesus? When it comes to church time, do you look to Jesus? When it comes to dealing with the issues of your life, are you looking to Jesus? Because if you look away from the Lord, you will find yourself really dealing with a lot of frustration. You start looking at people, you know, you look at your spouse, or you look at your children, or you look at your parents. They're not perfect, but you can always look to Jesus. Because who for the joy that was set before him endured. I'm always reminded, I say always, often reminded of something that Abraham Lincoln said. And I thought this was very interesting because he stated, quote, I can see how it might be possible for a man to look upon the earth and be an atheist. He said, but I cannot conceive how a man could look up into the heavens and say there is no God. And when I keep my eyes on my circumstances, the problems, politics, sports, health, there's a lot of things that would make me say, you know, I wonder, does Jesus care? But you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll find that the Lord Jesus will help you to see He does care. And when those disciples were in that boat and the winds and the waves were boisterous, what did they ask? Lord, do you care? And he said, O ye of little faith. I wonder about that sin that doth so easily beset you. Now, we all have those areas in our life that might be a real problem for us. But I do think at least one thing that seems clear in the writing of the book of Hebrews, there's the sin of unbelief. And that will weigh you down. And actually to beset the sin that does so easily beset you has the idea it will just stand there and do nothing. Press toward the mark. Press toward the mark. But don't forget to look to Jesus. Now, Father, we are so grateful for this wonderful time that we've had this evening. And Lord, I ask that you just be with this church, be with Brother Pastor Ernsberger and his wife as they lead this ministry by looking to Jesus. And I ask that if there be somebody here that is not 100% sure when they die, that they would come to Jesus Christ if they are not saved. And I pray for every individual in this room that maybe they are heavy because of their trials, or maybe some person has disappointed them, or some problems that are in their life. I pray that you would help them to get their eyes off of that, that they would look away from those things to look to Jesus. And we'll praise you for what you do. For Jesus' sake, amen.